Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We are Grant and Danny, and we are sponsored exclusively by the law firm Condori and Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We got a chance for people to win Caps tickets today.
That's coming up at 4 p.m. Got to be listening to win, but you'll see Caps on November 19th against this new upstart team called Edmonton. They've been around for a little bit. Maybe the best player on the planet.
By the way, you get to go to that game. You get to see Connor McDavid on your boys. That is a nice prize to win on G&D, so make sure you're locked in at that time. So we haven't really talked about this much. Brian Daboll got fired on Monday by the Giants. I wonder if it was as simple as it was time at 2-8 and they were bad and his record had stunk since he was the coach of the year and they made the playoffs in his first season. Or if part of this was that they blamed him for Jackson Dart getting hurt because he's been running a bunch and got hurt again running this week while they were up in the fourth quarter of a game. Maybe it's a little bit of both, but I wonder if ownership went to him and was like, dude, this is the franchise. Why are we running him with a lead in the fourth quarter? We've got running backs for that. But you're seeing that more and more and more, that he's a good little player. His numbers stack up really, really well side by side with like Jaden Daniels through this many games of his career. I've seen those numbers circulating. Now, I will say it's so different. Daniels was winning football games in close games or with the lead having to put up those same numbers. Dart is playing oftentimes way behind or in these shootout fourth quarter games where he's amassing and compiling stats, basically. It's like there's no, to me, it's
not apples to apples, but the point stands that they found something there. They got something.
Yeah. I think so, but there's no comparing for the people trying to do that. Like the impressiveness of Daniel's rookie year, which was historical, and Jackson Dart's, which has statistically been awesome. But if you look at it, it's 10 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. Passing, rushing the football, he's been actually very, very solid. You know, he can make plays. He's an
7
athlete.
Rushing touchdowns. Pretty remarkable, man. It's like Cam Newton type stuff. So yeah, I mean, to me, this is I always think of things this way. When there's a disaster, the people in charge only have so many levers. So Brian Daboll had a couple levers that he could pull. His first lever, one of the only ones, was to bench Russell Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jackson Dart. Now it begs the question: shouldn't we have done that sooner, given what we've got here in Jackson Dart? But that's beside the point.
It did it pretty quick.
That's one of the levers that he can pull. So he pulled that one, and now you're just on borrowed time as the losses continue to compound. His, you know, the blowing of the leads, the sprinting into the blue tent, the, you know, frankly undignified, please be a leader of men coaching behavior, I think contributes to it. But Joe Shane's got levers too. This is his last lever, is to fire Brian Daboll. He's on the chopping block next, and the owner has the ultimate lever, which is the trapdoor button below the GM. That's all it is to me, is they've lost in galling fashion. They've had leads. They can't wait to collapse in every game. They're 2-8. They're not going anywhere. Shane deserves as much, if not more, blame than Brian Daboll for their predicament, but he's not firing himself. The owner will do that after the season, I
think.
Well,
it actually sounds like he could survive this.
And maybe he does, which is insane.
I guess we'll see what happens between now and the end of the year. If they're able to steal games against either or some of Detroit, Green Bay, New England before their bye, and then beat Washington and Minnesota and Vegas or something. If they were to go 500 the rest of the way, maybe Joe Shane saves his job. There's a lot of talk about their drafts and that they've been maybe better than people think recently. I don't really see it, but to me, you blow both of them out. He picked the coach, and then you start over with GM and head coach. But this is just such a terrible way to operate with a young quarterback. And we talk about this all the time. But when you have a guy drafted by an embattled regime that is almost likely to get fired, not certainty, but likely going to be out after the year, you need to do it too early, not too late. The drafting of a quarterback to then hire a coach that inherits this player they didn't choose, which is the worst part of it. The best part is, and still bad, that this guy, let's say he's liked by the new coach who wants to come work with him, has to learn a whole new offense.
Yeah.
That's still a bad thing that you're doing, even if the next marriage with the next head coach goes really, really well. Now, Dart in 2 years will run two offenses, two play callers, two coordinators. It's a really good way to ruin the development of your quarterback. And it's one of the reasons why the Giants have been awful for the last bunch of years.
Yeah, just ask Washington or Chicago or anybody else that's constantly in quarterback draft and off parts of the cycle. Then coach gets fired. You start over, ruin the development. I mean, what Caleb Williams has done in his second year is, I'd say, pretty remarkable given the, you know, you're almost like trying to run the race and everyone else has a couple lap head start and you're not even stretched yet. So you're setting quarterbacks back in terms of that kind of development. It's the ultimate hallmark of dysfunction. And now you are doing the same thing if you're New York in a very familiar type way. It was only finally here that they broke the cycle after so many decades of this constant ebb and flow of ineptitude where someone inherits somebody or somebody's now under contract for a couple more years that they didn't necessarily want and they sort of agreed to have to work with them. And Jay Gruden's entire tenure was marred by that. Inherited Griffin, then they drafted someone else that he wasn't that thrilled with, and then that guy's going to go. Now we got to start over with that guy. Just a disaster. It's never going to work that way.
I'm glad you brought up Caleb Williams because while he's made significant strides this year, and there's no doubt he's in a way better place than he was a year ago, remember training camp or the preseason and some of the storylines. You remember?
Yeah, of course.
Like he wasn't picking up the offense and they're having to rip pages out of the playbook. And then you get the video of him missing the net when he's throwing and everything was very negative. That's what you're bringing on your young quarterback. And it's not like it's been great. Just a couple weeks ago against the Ravens, he laid an egg in a game they should have won. His completion percentage this year is only 60.8%. He still misses a lot of throws. He's still trying to figure it out. He has the benefit of working with a savant and Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
And so he's going to keep getting better. That offense is going to keep getting better. The development of Caleb Williams is going to be entrusted to somebody really, really good. But you just don't know who's the guy Jackson Dart's going to work with. And I've already seen the stories, and I can't believe it, but this is where we are. Where a bunch of the people out of New York clearly talking to somebody with either ownership or somebody in the building saying it's time to hire a defensive-minded head coach. Now, we've tried the offensive-minded thing here too much. They're talking about Brian Daboll, and I think Joe Judge was like a special teams guy. But, you know, we've had these guys come in here. Pat Shurmur was the coach of the Giants at one point. We need a disciplinarian, defensive-minded culture builder. I heard Mike Garofalo, who's a New York-based guy, I think, or Philly-based, one of them. But he was saying yesterday on NFL Network, they need a leader of men. That's code word for defensive-minded, basically a Dan Quinn type guy,
yeah.
Even if it's a retread. They're all going to now go out and try to find the next Tom Coughlin. No. You need the best person to get the most out of Jackson Dart. Who is that? To me, I don't know why teams don't think this way. If you have unearthed the gem, which is the quarterback who could be your franchise player, Danny, what am I missing here? Every decision you make should be about making sure that Jackson Dart becomes the best version of himself because the rest will take care of itself. If Jaden Daniels is a superstar, the Commanders are going to be in the playoffs almost every year in perpetuity, like the Bills, like the Chiefs, like the Ravens, like the Bengals when Joe Burrow doesn't die, which is every other season for 10 weeks at a time.
Yeah, like the Packers were under Rodgers.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is the ultimate hallmark of stability.
Empower your quarterback, hire a play caller, get that relationship right. That's what they should be thinking. But instead, all the storylines are disciplinarian, defensive-minded guy. And now you're signing up for potentially your coordinators leaving every couple of years. See the Texans with DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud, where you're just on this merry-go-round of trying to learn offenses. It's a really bad thing for a young player.
Yeah, the cheat code, so to speak, or the easiest way to be good. I'm not talking about win Super Bowls, but to be good is to have what you're talking about. You have a quarterback that's good, right? Because it's one thing you have to get right. Now, it's the hardest thing to get right. It's the hardest thing in sports to get right, right? There's a reason so much money is being paid and so many high draft picks are being thrown in the hopes that one of these saviors comes in and makes everybody glosses over all the wrinkles and all the bags under your eyes and all the fat and everything that doesn't look very good. That's the easiest way to be good. To be great, you've got to have a million great calls. You got to, you know, get, you know, the 53rd guy's got to be perfect. The undrafted free agent's got to work. You got to get health. You got to have a bunch of things that break your way. But to be a 9 or 10 win team in this league, you get a quarterback right. And sometimes you run into those good years where it's 13 wins or 14. You got home field advantage and, you know, God willing, you hoist a trophy or you have a chance at it. But setting that guy up and basically saying, we're going to try to keep having to get a bunch more calls right. It's just mathematically harder. Right, well, you've got to make sure you nail the offensive coordinator that's good, but not too good, so he doesn't get a head coaching job in a year. You got to make sure you nail every bit of personnel to, you know, if you're not going to elevate that quarterback. I just think it's too hard.
It's really hard, and they got to get it right if they're going to get back into the conversation in the NFC East. But that brings us to who is the next guy for the New York Giants, and I wanted to acknowledge the candidates on the market at BetOnline that they are floating for the Giants, and where Cliff Kingsbury shows up on that list. The names include Lane Kiffin at 4-1 as their favorite, Cliff Kingsbury second at 5-1, Jesse Minter, the DC of the Chargers, at 6-1, Clint Kubiak is fourth at +650, and then Jeff Hafley, who's the DC of the Green Bay Packers, who I think will get a job this offseason, at 7-1. So if we just take those names, okay? In the case of Lane Kiffin, here's your argument. Coached Jackson Dart in college, has an incredible relationship with him, would cost a ton of money. I don't know if he would leave Ole Miss to go to the NFL to take the Giants job, but for enough money, why wouldn't he be interested in that? It's New York City, the number two or number one, I don't know where it ranks with LA, media market in America. You're coaching back in the National Football League. You're not having to re-recruit your own players in the portal. How many college coaches have either retired or made leaps that we didn't expect here recently? Kiffin, Dart, makes the job intriguing, no? If you really like the kid and you just coached and called plays with him a year ago?
Well, certainly. And it's also, think of the personality of Lane Kiffin. Has that guy ever turned down a microphone or hadn't been excited to hold court and let people know how smart he is? Like, he seems to be made for that next big step up. I mean, he to me is like a more socially acceptable Bobby Petrino, like the guy that's going to better deal you the instant he finds something else. You know, like, so for a college, it's buyer beware. You sign him up for a couple of years, you'll get some good results, and eventually maybe it goes south, and he's already got one foot out the door to the next SEC school or whatever. But maybe the NFL is the way to do it. I mean, certainly it's a guy that would thrive in that limelight, I think.
Question is, how much has he matured? You know, he's still very funny and active on social media and trying to be the funniest guy in the room all the time. But he got his first head coaching job in his young 30s with the Raiders, and it was a Josh McDaniels level
total disaster.
So do you want to try again? But he's listed number one on BetOnline. Then you've got Kingsbury second. Now, I find that interesting because I actually think this year's Kingsbury, the guy that's going to get the interviews and the most interest and is going to be viewed as the hot commodity, is Clint Kubiak, who's calling plays for the Seahawks. He's doing all the stuff that works all over the league, from the Kyle Shanahan offense and the tree, basically, of Shanahan. Remember, Gary Kubiak, his dad, was the OC for Mike for a long time. Clint Kubiak, the son, has worked with Kyle, Mike's son, many times over as well. But Clint, who called plays for the Saints previously, now in Seattle, it's a lot of play action. It's under center. It's boots. It's a moving pocket. Look what he's doing with Sam Darnold. Basically, with one wide receiver, they finally just added another, trading for Rashid Shaheed. And they can't even run the ball. They're one of the most inefficient, bad run offenses in the league, which in and of itself is something he's got to figure out. And they're still able to operate heavy play action, heavy personnel, and move the football with really impressive big plays and chunks in the passing game. So I think Clint Kubiak's going to get a job. That would make sense. Who am I looking to pair Jackson Dart with, an offensive mind? Kubiak's probably at the top of my list, but Cliff Kingsbury is going to be high on that list. And I get the sense, maybe, with a down year and some of the struggles, and frankly, the way Washington's offense has been broken over the last few weeks, Commanders fans wouldn't be as sad to see him go. But it would still be a significant loss because you're elevating from within. You don't know what the next coordinator is going to do, how they're going to operate. Are they going to succeed? If it's someone like Brian Johnson, who got a chance with the Eagles and then got run out of town, there's no guarantee that's going to work out well. And is it a different relationship for Jaden?
Is he taking David Blau? Is he taking, I don't know, thinking of some of the names, some of the other offensive consistency. Yeah, DeVita Pritchard.
If Cliff leaves and he takes Pritchard and Blau with him and it's like Brian Johnson and a couple of the other underlings on offense left, you got to go make a bunch of moves from outside the building and coach everybody up to coach the players. And now Jaden's working with a new play caller and a guy that doesn't have Cliff's resume. So even though everyone's doing this like, oh, it's fine if Cliff walks, they're broken, I don't see it that way. I still think it's a significant loss for the team.
No, it would be for sure, because you're saying to Jaden Daniels, it's probably something new, unless you can promote from within, right? And I don't know that that's Anthony Lynn moving from running backs coach to the OC or... You know,
I don't think it'd be Lynn. I think you got to go younger and give one of your upside guys a shot.
Right, like you know what I'm saying. Like if you can keep some of those guys and say it's the same system, same verb, or just a different voice in the headset, I think you get some sustainability there, and that's really what we talked about this when Dan Quinn was hired. That's the challenge, right, is the constant pipeline of offensive minds so that it's not a drastic sea change every 2 years.
But if you're Dan Quinn coming off of this debacle of a season, going into year three, which, you know, nobody's going to be calling for your head or putting you on a hot seat at the end of this football season. But if you have a bad third year at some point along the way next year,
yep,
there's going to be wolves at the door. Now you're going into that year without Cliff Kingsbury and with a questionable offensive coordinator potentially. That'd be brutal.
Not great.
And I wonder, would he be comfortable turning it over to someone who's never done it, like a Blau or a DeVita Pritchard, if you've got to do it so that they don't leave with Cliff? Would you just give Brian Johnson the opportunity, who did have a shot before and it went really badly in Philadelphia? Or do you think outside the box and go, you know what? I know I've said I was building all these guys up the whole time, but you let whoever wants to go with Cliff go. And Mike McDaniel, who they're playing against this week, the head coach of the Dolphins, is now fired, who today was thanking Dan Quinn, his former head coach in Atlanta when he was on that staff, for helping to get him sober. And you bring him in as your offensive coordinator because maybe you do want to go with that Shanahan offense that's taking the league by storm, because you want to get Jaden under center, because you want to do some different things other than just having him living in the gun and the pistol and a lot of the quarterback run stuff. And maybe you want to be a more traditional offense and just let Jaden, you know, win from the pocket, so to speak.
Yeah, or Brian Daboll is available now, who oversaw the development of Josh Allen. I mean, he was there in Buffalo when Allen went from, oh my God, what is this guy doing, to league MVP caliber player. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it ain't. I mean, former great offensive minds who got head coaching jobs who get bumped back down into coordinator, that to me is your pool.
The problem with going that route, which I think there'd be a lot of interest in from the fan base, is a guy like Daboll will absolutely get another opportunity if he comes here with Jaden and Daniels lights
to be
the
head coach, yeah.
Because he's been a coach of the year, and then mm-hmm. it went really sour in New York. And the further you get away from these firings, we remember it better than it was, or we point out more context of why it went bad.
Yeah, well, because they're going to keep losing without him there, and it may not be his fault that they're still losing.
Sure.
Yeah.
But same thing with Mike McDaniel. I'd say it'll be less of a rush to hire him because he's so quirky and so different and so odd. He doesn't really give off that leader of men vibe, but he's a guy that could get another opportunity. That's why I like the idea of just sticking with your pipeline. As much as McDaniel's going to be interesting or Daboll's going to be intriguing, McDaniel, the only reason I'm fascinated by him, though, is the type of offense that I think they need to run more of, it doesn't seem like Cliff is willing to. Like getting under center and doing more traditional NFL normal things. I keep asking and begging and demanding and wanting. It's not a big ask, by the way, to ask for a little bit of motion, you know, to move some guys around. But it just seems like Cliff is going, it worked last year, we're going to keep doing this. And the fact that we don't have enough personnel is based on injuries. And when we get our guys back, it's going to be fine. But if he's unwilling to kind of get with the movement of what we're seeing work around the league, then him getting a head coaching job might be an opportunity to reset, either with your hire, if you talk to David Blau and go, hey, I want you to run a little bit of what you guys run in Detroit when you were there as a quarterback. And he goes, okay. Or if he's unwilling, he just wants to do this, then maybe you do start flirting with someone from the other tree.
No, that's a good point. I mean, to me, again, it's we said this earlier about Jackson Dart, and it applies very much here to Daniels. What's best for him? And that could be, by the way, stay on the same horse. You know, don't abandon horse midstream. Let's keep running this exact same thing, because when he's healthy, and we'll coach up this thing and that thing to prevent maybe some of these injuries that have sabotaged his second season, et cetera. Or what's best for him may be let's have some growing pains in a system that's a little bit foreign to him, but long-term is best for his growth and development. Whatever that answer is from all the smart people, that's what you do.
I want to hear from you guys on this next. Cliff Kingsbury, the hype last year at this time was astronomical. He was the hot commodity among coordinators. He ended up getting asked to take interviews, did interview with the Saints. I was told he could have had that job if he wanted it and chose to stay here in D.C. Do you think he is going to be a hot name for head coaching jobs this offseason? I believe this will be the first season coming up now where he's not being paid by the Cardinals, which could mean more interest in him getting the big raise and being a head coach again. 800-636-1067. What do you make of him as a possible fit with the Giants? Do you think Jackson Dart's a quality enough quarterback that maybe that's a job you jump at if you get a chance if you're Kingsbury? And how would you feel about his departure? Would you just want to stay within the org here with the guys they're grooming under him? Or do you try to reel in a big fish if Dable wants the job or a McDaniel wants the gig? I would think pretty much any of those guys would choose this place first because you get to work with Jaden Daniels.
Pretty big enticement.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
We are one day away from the kickoff of week 11 in the NFL. Thursday night football to get us started tomorrow night. AFC East matchup. The Jets are 2-7 coming off of a win. They could not move the ball. They couldn't complete passes. They couldn't score points. And they beat the Cleveland Browns, thanks to two special teams touchdowns. They're in New England to take on the Patriots, who are 8-2. And today, New England was signing Rob Gronkowski to a one-day contract.
Say, wait, what?
So that he could retire a New England Patriot. So they'll be celebrating him, I'm sure, at the game tomorrow. New England, by the way, has ripped off 7 consecutive wins. And the team that never beats anybody good has played 2 good teams so far this year, and they've beaten both of them.
They beat them both, man. Mike Vrabel. Again, the stuff that I care about, that coaches can control, he's excellent at. The timeout usage always correct. The little edges in the league about, you know, clock management and all those little nuances that escape some of these guys that are absolute geniuses in their field, he nails every time. And all of a sudden, they're believing and they're good.
He is going to be one of the front runners for Coach of the Year, which we'll talk about later in the show. But they also have one of the front runners for the MVP. Drake May right now is number 2 in the MVP odds, behind only Matthew Stafford. They don't really call design runs for him, but he scrambles and makes plays with his feet occasionally. But he has been living in the pocket, making big-time throws. There are very, very few players who are throwing a better deep ball, having more success down the field this season than May. And if they beat the Jets and they get to 9-2 and he has a strong showing on primetime, he might even be able to close the gap again with Matt Stafford, who's been on fire in the MVP vote.
The biggest test they had, they got a couple more big ones down the stretch, but bear with me. Jets, Bengals, Giants, you would think they'd be favored in all 3 of those games. And
they should win 2 of those 3.
At a minimum,
if
right?
If you go 1-2, you're called a fraud going into your bye week, probably.
Yeah.
But if they go 2-1, that gets them to 10-3, you come out of your bye with 4 to play.
Bills, Ravens, that's a tough stretch because Ravens will be hungry, need it for the postseason. You would think they're playing much better football here lately.
You could then lose both and still easily make the playoffs, but if you were able to split that, you'd go into the playoffs with the momentum of people, either because you swept the Bills or you beat the Ravens. People would think you have a chance to make a run.
Week 17, week 18 to close their season, Jets, Dolphins. They're already packed up, made golf reservations, and halfway to, you know, drinking a drink with an umbrella.
They'll be favored in at least 5 of those 7 games.
It is not crazy them to be at 13 wins.
But this is why I picked them to make the playoffs
before
the year began.
Yep.
They, despite having an over-under win margin of 7.5, that's what their over-under was at the start of the year, was 7.5. On look-ahead lines, they were favored in 11 games. So...
Before Joe Burrow's done for the season or close to it, right?
But make that make sense. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to win 7.5 games on the season, but you're projected as a, again, look ahead lines only, but as a favorite in 11 of 17 games because their schedule was the easiest in the NFL. And so I think both suggestions are true.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a terribly easy schedule. And like their game against the Falcons, they should have lost. Atlanta stunk that day. They beat them. You give up 5 sacks to Myles Garrett, you still beat the Browns by 20 points. You get to play the Titans, and you played with your food for a quarter. It didn't look very good. Next thing you know, you blow out Tennessee. Because in that stretch where you're playing the Saints and the Panthers, they play a lot of really crappy, bad teams. True. But if when you play good teams, you also beat them, people can't just say that you're a fraud. Because you beat the Bills, and you beat the Bucks, and if you were to beat Buffalo again or Baltimore and knock them out of the postseason chances or something, maybe Baltimore will have ripped off enough wins that won't be a deal breaker at that time. But still, a game that Baltimore is going to need in week 16 of the season, then you showed up against the good teams too. So yeah, you took advantage of a soft schedule and you dominated bad teams, but you also beat some good ones. But they remind me so much of last year's Commanders.
Right.
The schedule, the first-year head coach, the retread defensive mind.
Just the energy.
The culture being established, everybody buying in, the quarterback having a year the likes of which is going to be hard to replicate, and playing at an MVP, you know, all-world level, who's now thrust himself into the top 5 quarterback conversation. Like, who am I talking about? Last year's Commanders or this year's Patriots?
Or the year before, Houston Texans. But yeah, I mean, stick aside, it really is amazing. Like, when it breaks this way for you as an org, right, where all those things that you just mentioned line up, yes, Drake May's playing great. Yes, this defense all of a sudden is awesome. Yes, there are other fun young players that are now, you know, coming into their own, whether it's via opportunity or otherwise. Trayvon Henderson's awesome. And it was only because of the presence of other players that he wasn't allowed to kind of, you know, spread his wings and fly, and now that's not the case. He's been unbelievable. But defensively, they're so disciplined, so good, so tough to run against. They are a really complete football team in the image of their head coach, a guy that I could not believe nobody wanted for a whole year. I could not believe no one was beating down the door for that guy to try to make him their head coach.
May has now climbed to the top of the list at EPA per pass attempt in the NFL. He's number one. By the way, Danny, if he wins the MVP award this year, he'd be the seventh player ever to win the MVP award in his second season. That would be wild. Hard to do.
Yeah.
Right now.
Because there's some other, so many others, what I'm trying to say, great candidates.
Oh,
that they may just do it because of, he'll win one at some point.
To be clear, I don't think he's going to win the MVP award, and I don't think he necessarily should. Right now, Matt Stafford should be the MVP of the league. We're going to talk about MVP coach of the year a little bit later on. But Stafford is having the best year of anybody. There are other guys that are having really, really good seasons at the quarterback position. Like, I would never vote for Jared Goff as an MVP if I had a vote, because you just watch the offense. It's wide open receivers. It's guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown after the catch making crazy plays. Jahmyr Gibbs doing crazy things out of the backfield. Montgomery thumping. Having said that, if you're just looking at numbers, Goff's numbers are not that different than Stafford's. A little bit worse in a few categories, including touchdowns, but he should be in the conversation. Based on, if we're just saying best seasons by a quarterback, is that right. How you win MVP?
Is that our criteria? Yeah.
Those guys are up there then, if that's the point. But if you're looking for like actual value where Josh Allen edges guys out, or where Lamar Jackson's won it before, that's where May has helped, because there's no Kyren Williams necessarily. Like, they just hit a couple of home runs with Trevion Henderson this week, but he's a playmaker with his feet too. And so there's this Josh Allen element to that. I wouldn't close the book on Allen or Mahomes either, for that matter.
Yeah, with a stretch run to catapult their teams into, you know, the top.
If the Chiefs win the West, because they rip off a bunch of wins out of the bye, you don't think Mahomes, who a week and a half ago was a favorite, isn't right back in the hunt? I mean, if the Bills don't lose again, and I know that's a big if, but or lose one more game and run away with the division and win the conference, and they're the one seed in the AFC, you don't think Josh Allen has a chance to go back-to-back? Like, and should, probably, by the way, if that happens.
Yeah, it ain't crazy.
If you beat Tampa and Houston and Pittsburgh and Cincy and New England and Cleveland, say you lose to the Eagles and beat the Jets, and you finish the season 13-4 in the one seed in the AFC, just give Josh Allen the award.
Well, I lament the fact that this is not the point of the discussion, but I'm just editorializing for a moment. Same thing with the Heisman. This has happened, and now in the NFL, it's which quarterback had the best season. We're going to ignore Jonathan Taylor, who might end up with, 2,500 yards from scrimmage and 20-some touchdowns. He won't even be. He might make a ballot as like the fourth or fifth candidate, but it really is always about which quarterback ends up making it. I'm not saying necessarily that he even is having a head and shoulders better season than everybody else, but leads the league in rushing touchdowns, yards per attempt 6.0. It's insane. It's like Barry Sanders type college stats for a guy at the NFL level with his signature game this past weekend abroad. But it's going to go to one of the quarterbacks, and again, I understand it because of the way the league is, but still kind of a bummer.
Depends where you're looking. I'm actually seeing in some spots now where May's the favorite. That, to me, would just be based on the fact that they're leading their division and there's only one team to deal with, whereas the Rams have the Niners and the Seahawks, who have the same record as them. Like, if they lose this weekend, they're a second-place team. You talk about things.
And they'll be the sixth seed or whatever, right?
You talk about things you lament, and I think you make a good point. I lament the fact that you have to win your division, basically, to be the MVP.
Mm.
As if you can't be unbelievably valuable and buoy your organization and be this amazing player that turned your team into a 10 or 11 win team because of how valuable you are, rather than you had to win 13 or 14 games in the division. But Stafford, at this one book here, plus 275. May is 3-1. They've got Mahomes at 5-1, and then Jonathan Taylor and Josh Allen after that. Here's one. Where is Sam Darnold in these conversations? And I understand how stupid it sounds to suggest that Sam Darnold should win the Most Valuable Player award, but what are we actually talking about? That's the most complete team in the NFL right now. They might be the best team in the NFL at this moment. They're 7-2. If they beat the Rams and Matt Stafford this week, maybe everyone will be talking about it next week because they'd be 8-2. But he's only thrown interceptions in three different games out of the nine he's played in this year. I think five of his six picks came in two games. 17 touchdowns. Six interceptions. They cannot run the ball. They don't really. I mean, they try, but they don't effectively run it. And they had one receiver, basically, Jackson Smith and Jigba. You look at numbers under pressure, against the blitz, big-time throws, like all of these data points, yards per attempt, yards per completion, QBR. He's number one in the NFL and all this stuff. Where is the Sam Darnold sweepstakes?
That's a great question. The stat that I care about the most, which is it tries to equalize things. This is one of my favorite numbers in all of football. When you drop back to pass, what happens? That's incomplete, completion, touchdown, interception, sack, all the negative stuff. The thing that Lamar Jackson was so great at last year, which is why I thought he should have been the MVP, the adjusted net yards per attempt, a.k.a. the ball snap that's in your hands. What happens? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? He leads the league, talking about Sam Darnold, by laps.
Yeah.
He's miles ahead of everybody else with what you just mentioned. They can't run it. It's JSN and you, me, and Darius, basically, for them at receiver. He's having an unbelievable season, and it's, Sam Darnold. It's, for whatever reason, didn't have the buzz.
He's not in the cool kids club. You know,
maybe that simple.
Like Drake May has a good couple of months. He's the coolest kid on the block. Yeah. You're either in the club or you're not. And for whatever reason, Sam Darnold doesn't get to join. He had the amazing year with the Vikings, and we all said, he'll fall on his face. And he did.
He did.
And everyone celebrated and high-fived and hugged and said, thank God Sam Darnold fell on his face. They were so happy that it happened. Then he goes to a different organization. Well, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson anymore. He's going to stink. Kevin O'Connell's not going to make him look good. It's Clint Kubiak and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and he's having a better year. And I'm sure the clock will eventually strike midnight, and on a day where he gets pressured, he'll struggle and throw some picks, and everyone will celebrate. But he should absolutely be in the conversation right now. Matt Stafford's season, by the way.
For a little bit silly, by the way.
Had basically no camp and no preseason. 7-2 record for the Rams, right? Here's Stafford's numbers. 67% complete. 2,400 yards already in 9 games. So he's on a pace.
So the league leaders have more, but they have played an extra game.
He's on pace for 4,540 yards this season. He's got 25 touchdowns and 2 picks. And over the last month, he's had 5 touchdown, 4 touchdown, and 4 touchdown games with no interception.
I mean, that's mid-2000s Aaron Rodgers type numbers.
It's crazy.
Like, it's ungodly what's happening right now. And that team is awesome.
They're really good. I think you might have the 2 best teams in the NFL right now in the West. And they play this week, by the way.
Well, power rankings just came out, and that's what a lot of people are saying.
What are you doing at 4:05? Because I know what I'm doing. Couch.
My feet is up.
Coke Zero. Seahawks. Rams. Thank you, NFL Sunday Ticket. Let's get after it. You said that's not the nationally televised 4 o'clock game this weekend, Darius.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be Chiefs-Broncos on CBS.
I mean, that's perfectly fine, but that's not that. I want that.
So Chiefs-Broncos is a really good matchup.
That's a good game.
And it should be, you know, game of the week probably in some way because it's the AFC West, the number one spot on the line. It's actually the biggest pendulum-swinging game of the weekend. A Broncos win, they're 88% likely to win that division. If they lose, they drop under 50%, and the Chiefs become the favorites. So I get the import there, but that will not be nearly as entertaining as Seattle and LA. Just won't. And those are two better teams. I mean, the Broncos are a tough watch. I promise you they'll have 3 points at halftime, and they're going to be trying to fight and scratch and claw in the fourth quarter. I've seen one of those games. I've seen them all. And by the way, Bo Nix is struggling right now.
Like, what's going on there, by the way?
Regression is what's going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's nothing down the field, inaccurate on everything, 20-plus. I'm not on board with a lot of the national pundits that are saying if this continues, you have to think about starting Jarrett Stidham, because I don't think Stidham's any good, and I think Nick's, based on last year, earned the right to get out of the rut. But it is getting bad on that offense. I haven't watched their tape, but the people that do suggest he's holding them back.
Well, what I've been baffled by is in that system, I understand he's not downfield prolific. That's not why you went and got Bo Nix.
Correct.
You went and got a guy to throw close to the line of scrimmage, and that completion percentage has dropped into the turlet, to use the parlance of some of the locals. He's around 60%, which last year he was around 67.
Which locals say turlet?
Southern Maryland.
Do they?
Down to turlet.
I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine his ADOT is bigger than it was last year, because it does seem like they're trying to push the ball down the field. But on those throws, he has struggled immensely. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Let's get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Remember, Caps tickets in about 17 minutes. Robert Mays of The Athletic talking ball with us today at 5 o'clock on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Back live on Grant and Danny, where we're taking you up to 6:30 on this Wednesday. You're locked into the Fan. Our double play comes your way every day at 3:45, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
So we do this show every day. I see Grant more than I see my wife over the course of a given week. We spend a lot of hours together. Same with Darris and Ryan and usually Toby, but Wesley Financial's here, getting people out of his timeshares, answering the phones, and the like. You get to know folks, and we're literally like brothers in here, right? There's ups, there's downs, there's fights, there's good times, there's bad times, there's bits, there's inside, all sorts of stuff. And everybody's quirks, a lot of times, come to the forefront, right? We're on radio, so you know about Grant's food proclivities, for example. You know that I'm a curmudgeon on certain things and whatever, right? Well, one of the things that is a sticking point, I would say, among our intimate friendship, brotherhood, hit the bell, is...
I can't find the bell.
Where's the bell? Hold on, it's right here.
Send me the brotherhood bell.
Other side of the phone. Hold on. See that?
Toss it right there.
You got
brotherhood
it.
Bell?
Brotherhood bell. Show me brotherhood. There are certain sticking points that, for whatever reason, some of us don't get over. And bother one but not the other or something to that effect. There'll be a day where I'm fired up about something Grant doesn't care. Darris has the red ass for some reason and, you know, we won't care. But everybody's got their chance to ventilate. Here's where I'm going with this. One of the things that bothers my co-host and good pal, Grant Harrison Paulson, is when somebody doesn't notice his haircut. For the second time in 2 months, the last time I saw you, my hair was a different length. I got a haircut.
When did you get your haircut?
Yesterday.
Can I see it?
Got my haircut so far away, was in Fairfax for the day. I got my haircut.
Take off your headset really quick.
Sure, right here.
You did. Well, it's not as like military as it normally is.
Yeah,
you're not Lieutenant Corporal Rouillet this time.
Right, so you're trying to get out of it with a Joan, but here's what happened. My compatriots, they cry foul. They're like LeBron James when he misses a layup, begging for a call from Dick Pavetta or some other official who I can't think of.
They hit you first.
Yeah, hit me first. I hope this puts it to rest.
No, it doesn't.
Nobody needs to say anything to the other men here. We're all fine. We're going about our business. Nobody wished me a happy haircut. No one congratulated me or noticed my haircut. And we just had a normal day. Everything's fine. Everything's normal. I think if I'm ruling on this, and I don't think I get to, but if I am, I think we can slam the gavel on people being upset for not noticing the haircut.
That's really interesting.
That's two times for me.
What time did you get a haircut?
Yesterday morning around 11 a.m. 11 a.m.
24 hours.
Yeah, just over 24 hours.
There. Same person as normal?
Same place as normal.
Okay, a little longer than normal. So here's what I would say. First of all, I apologize.
Don't you dare apologize
to
me.
No, I do. And on behalf of Darius and Ryan and especially Wes,
there's no need.
I apologize.
There's no need.
Because I do think that we should have acknowledged that. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to offer an excuse if you don't mind. And the excuse I've got is you've been wearing headphones for the majority of the time that I've been around you. So I was in the studio getting ready to record an interview.
Yep.
You walked in quite literally as we were starting.
I got in there.
It was a 1 o'clock interview. Mm-hmm. You walked in at 1:02, yep. And the guy was just calling in at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you walked in, you either had your headsets on or you put them on.
Yep.
And so there was no chance for me to see your hair at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then you came back, and within 2 minutes of sitting down, we did some skits and bits with CK, who was in here. There was never really me looking at you. You immediately had to go talk to Derek Forrest.
Yep.
For your whatever that thing is that you
do.
The
thing that we do, yeah.
Yeah. So you went and did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you came back, there was only a few more minutes till we were on the show and you put your headphones on.
Yeah.
So
you would acknowledge there's been some time.
There was probably roughly 14 minutes when I've been around you where you didn't have big, bulky headphones on that make it impossible for me to see your haircut. Because the way Danny's haircut is, if I could just make one more excuse,
okay.
He has very long hair on the top that he like shoots out like he's Brett Bielma or Mike Vrabel or something. From his forehead, but then the sides he gets like a zero, like he's, you know, serving overseas. And the only part I can't see is the sides because your headphones are covering it. So that's my excuse. That's my explanation. I've got a lot of injuries. It's hard to make tackles.
It is tough.
And it's hard to stop people from
season's gotten off the rails.
154 points in 4 weeks. But I want to say I will wear this. This is about accountability. These are the reasons why it happened, but it happened, and it's my fault, and I will do better. I apologize.
You don't have to. What I could do without it, the Jones, though. It's the little hidden Jones,
in
the apology. He gets a haircut like an idiot. His hair looks stupid, and it juts out like this guy, and the sides look like that guy.
That's what you heard. That's not what I said.
Oh, okay. What I'm trying to tell you is that part's not necessary. Let's not notice each other's hair. Let's not be moved to emotion by hair. Let's just let that happen.
Am I not allowed to talk about your hairstyle?
Sure you can.
Okay, let's not be bothered by it. I wasn't joning. I was saying...
Is that a compliment?
Yes.
It is.
Well, it's not a compliment, no. It's neither. It's your hairstyle is long in the front, zero on the sides. When you sit down and they say, what do you want? You go, shave the side of my head and let my bangs go way out forward. That's what you say.
It's not exactly what I say.
But that's the style. Yeah. I mean, how is that a jone? If you said to
that's unreal complimentary, is all I'm saying.
Okay, if you said to me, Grant has a hairstyle where he gets a hard part and combs all his hair to the right. Yeah, that's true. He gets a 1.5 on the side. Damn it, Danny, leave my 1.5 alone. Well, like, I don't understand.
If you say the fact of 1.5, you're like he's enlisted in the military like some dweeb. Like that's the difference.
Military's a dweeb?
Well, the way you say it, it sound like I'm trying to do some kind of weird thing. I just say puffy sides, so I get rid of that. But anyway, the point is, I'm perfectly fine. Let's not get all up in tights. Let's not get all pantaloons in a bunch. Let's all calm down. You didn't notice my haircut again. I hope it puts it all to rest where you don't have to worry about it. If you don't notice, you don't notice, and it's fine.
I want to apologize to Danny for not noticing his amazing haircut.
It's fine.
He has amazing hair.
Ryan, it's fine.
He does not look like he's in the military. I did not know that was pejorative. I apologize. I thought that it was just a description, that it looks like you have a military haircut.
Mm.
Didn't know that was some big Joan, like one of them silly geese who's out there enlisted. Didn't know that's what we were doing. I apologize.
That's really interesting.
If you said my hair looks like, I don't know, who wears this hair? Everybody, pretty much, who's a grown-up.
Yeah, you have a nice haircut.
Normal people.
I've always liked it fine, but never been moved to emotion by it.
Right. Next time you get a haircut, I'm going to be on it.
Respectfully, I don't care if you are or not.
No, it's going to happen.
I think we're all set. I think we put it to bed and it's asleep. So restful.
Wes asked me if you got a haircut. He was like, did Danny get a haircut?
He did not.
And I was like, I don't think he did.
He didn't have time. He's getting people out of their timeshares.
That's a good point. I don't get that joke.
Wesley Financial, Chuck McDowell, advertised on the station.
Okay.
I'm not an attorney. I never want to be an attorney. If you think I'm an attorney, I apologize. He answers the phones for us. That's Wesley Financial.
That's a deep cut. I didn't have that in the office pool. We're going blitzing next, and as soon as we return, we are giving away Caps tickets right here on Grant and Danny. If you call in between now and 6:30 at the end of the show, please let Danny know that you like how his hair looks. We acknowledge haircuts. We appreciate haircuts on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.